source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi. Happy Tuesday to all of you out there. And it's another week here around the metaphysical table.
That's right. And and last night we had the full moon, so we have that energy shaking around us. And it was the autumn equinox happened over the weekend. Lots of energy shifting going on right now.
It is. I think it's been kind of fun, actually.
It has. I feel like it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
You know, like before it was, there's so much going on, and I did read something about they feel like now all the negative things that have happened in the past 6 months will be just in the past, and we can look forward to this wonderful time now where we can actually make things happen and make things work and just be happy.
That sounds perfect. Let's do it.
I know, and I do feel there's kind of been a shift that way. You know what I mean? And it's dark, Heidi. 2 weeks ago, it was still light outside when we had our show.
I know.
And now it's completely dark here in the land of 10,000 lakes.
I know. And it keeps getting darker. Dark.
Yeah. And the veil is thinning.
I was going to say it gets darker, which is good for Halloween.
Yes, absolutely, which is coming up fast. And Paracon is coming up fast, 2 weeks. We were just talking about that. 2 weeks from Thursday, we'll be up in Minome in Minnesota.
Yep, we have our Paracon here in Minnesota, and looking forward to that.
Yep.
Paranormal gathering.
Yes. So if anyone comes, you know, and you're in Minnesota and you come up there for that, do come see us, because we have booths galore. All three booths will be together.
We won't have the gathering.
It'll be a gathering of, you know.
Of all of our groups.
All of our groups, because we're all going to be next to each other. So you'll be able to find us all in the same spot, which will be really fun.
Yeah. Steph's group. My group, and then Squatchers in the middle.
Yeah.
So if you can find Squatchers, at least you can find all of us. Yeah.
So you should be able to see at least one of us there. I'm just saying. One of us will be there at all times. Probably both of us, because last year it seemed like I never got away from that table.
I was able to skip out for a couple of, you know, rounds, but otherwise it was, it was busy. Really busy, which is good. It's fun. So if you're in the... If you're in the area in a couple weeks, stop by and say hi.
Yeah, because it's always a fun time, and there's scads of people there, and, you know, Grant Wilson is my favorite. He's going to be there again, and Steve Gonzalez, who's been on our show.
Yep.
And this year, I think Nick Graff is going to be there. You know, we just saw him at CryptidCon, and lots of people. So go to the website and check it out. It's at starcasino.com, and then just look under Paracon, and then you'll see who all is shaken up there. But it's fun. It's a really fun weekend. If you can go and you're into the paranormal business, go, because it's great. It's fun.
Yeah. And that's one of the Paracons, or it's a con that, you know, even though it's out in the middle of nowhere, it's still holds 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I mean, there's a lot to do and a lot to see, because with all the speakers and things too, it makes it interesting. So, because sometimes you get 2 day paracons or whatever cons, you know, conferences, and you can go for a day and you got it all.
Yeah.
This one is like, you could go for 2 days.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's busy. And you know, as people who have booths, I mean, it's busy on Friday, but Saturday, there's like twice as many people, but there's thousands of people that go to Paracon, and every year it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's very fun to watch that unfold.
Yeah.
But you know, we were talking about CryptidCon, and you know, that's always a fun one too, but it's like, Saturday is super busy, and then it's the next that they also have it on Sunday, and Sunday is not so much. I think they could condense it and put it all in one day, and it would be better. But Paracon is
that's not just that us busy. Talking. Yeah.
Paracon is like crazy busy from the get-go, from Thursday night for us anyway, all the way until, you know, it closes down on Saturday night. So come and come meet us because we would love to talk to you because it'll be fun. So Heidi, what were you doing this weekend? Did you do anything fun?
It was a busy paranormal weekend. I was at the Bakken Museum again on Saturday night. We had our part one of our two-part series on Saturday night, and that was really fun. It was interesting because as I was doing my presentation, because I have in the part one, I do a lot of presenting, and I knew it was because of the energy of the equinox and the full moon.
Oh, crazy.
Spirits were full body apparition all over the place. Like, I thought they were people. I thought it was actual human beings walking around. I'm like, gosh, they usually don't have this many people working, you know, because everybody that was attending was sitting in this room.
Yeah.
It's called the Great Hall. And there's all these doors that go to other places of the mansion, and they're open to hallways and other rooms.
Yeah.
And I could see in every doorway people walking around all over the place. I'm like, what? Usually they don't have this many employees left this late at night.
Yeah, they were gross.
And I'm like, wait a minute. So I caught a few of them just right on as I saw them go by. It wasn't even out of the peripheral vision. Right. And I went, oh, wait, they're see-through still. But it was still very clear.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So it was really cool. But then when it came down to chatting, they got kind of quiet, which is interesting because they're usually very chatty.
Uh-huh.
So I wonder if so much energy was put into the visual manifestation that there wasn't enough left. So anyway, I mean, we still have to review audio, you know, and sometimes there's a lot that comes through on audio, but yeah, it was interesting. And what was really funny too, is I went early. This is the first time I was able to get there early because I always say when I go there, I have to watch the Frankenstein show. I actually haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And they always, you know, joke like, oh, you've got to see it. Come on. I mean, you know, and I'm sure they've all seen it a billion times. So they're just like, oh, God, I have to watch this again because she wants to see it, whatever. But they're very accommodating and very nice. And they're like, okay, you got to come early sometime and we'll play it for you. And I said, okay. So we finally get there early to play it and it doesn't work.
Oh. You're just not meant to see it.
I know. It's just going to be a mystery.
Yeah. Oh,
so, yeah. Oh, but anyway, I'll catch it another time, I'm sure. They felt bad that they couldn't play it. I'm like, well, it's not your fault. It was a technology thing. It wasn't anything to do with them. But anyway, so some other time we'll do that. But yeah, so, and then we had our 10th anniversary picnic, MPRS group. Yeah.
Sure.
10 years running now. The group started in 2008, and I had a picnic just for the 10-year anniversary, and quite a few people stopped by, and it was a potluck. It was probably the best potluck I have ever been to in my entire life.
Really?
I couldn't even tell you. You know, because you have potlucks and you just hope and pray that it's not just a bunch of chips and salsa.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know,
right?
And, you know, bag the cookies or whatever. And it was, I mean, there was probably 6 crock pots.
Oh, my. That's
with
good.
Really good stuff in it. And homemade cookies and you know these Cindy, she brought caprese salad like on a toothpicks, you know, she lines it all up in the toothpicks, so it's like, oh, it's so cute. And it was like picnic portion. And someone brought Baker Square pies.
Oh,
like 2 of them. Yeah, it was good. And anyway, it was delicious, and it was fun seeing everybody. We had some, you know, games that we were able to set up so people could, you know, run around a little bit because it was actually nice out. It was beautiful on Sunday.
Oh, it was on Sunday. Okay.
Sunday. And, you know, just like about, you know, 90% of the country has been underwater.
Yeah.
You know, we've been getting a lot of rain here too. And so it was just perfect on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a wedding that I officiated on Friday night. The sky lit up, the sun was out for that nice little
I know, because it had been raining, and most of the day on Friday too, and then all of a sudden it was like it just opened up and it was a beautiful day.
And it was in perfect time for the wedding. I thought, oh, okay, thank you. I asked if we could get a little help, and Mother Earth was on top of it.
Yeah.
So the 2 times this weekend that I needed nice weather,
you got it.
It's Perfect.
Well, you must be doing something right.
I guess so. I'm grateful. So yeah. It was a big, busy weekend. I got to dress up like an elf.
I know. I saw the pictures. You looked Friday. Awesome.
Yeah. It was a Lord of the Rings themed wedding and that I got Love to it. Officiate. And I was really honored to officiate the wedding. It was really cool. And the location was kind of like having it in Middle Earth. I mean, they had this really cool location. I can't wait to see pictures of how it looked. And everybody just looked fantastic and proud. They were dressing up. It was just cool. It was really cool.
Awesome. I love it.
So that was my weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're all so busy, right? I know. We went up to the top of Maiden Rock on Saturday night, which was very fun. Actually, we got there a little too early, and we'd been up there for so long, we had to come down before darkness. But we found a different way up there, so we are going back in October. It's a much easier way, and we're going to go late at night. So, and then we'll have some people down at the bottom and some up at the top to see what we can find, because there's definitely something there. But it had a whole different atmosphere than it did the last time I was there.
Oh, interesting.
You know how that happens? It's like, you know, from one time to the next, it's very different. So it was a really fun little trip, and you know, we have already got a date in the books to go back in the night, in the dark. Nobody will help us, kind of thing. So hopefully we'll see the maiden. But when we had our squatchers meeting on Thursday night, and there was torrential downpours and tornadoes, you know, it was just the craziest thing ever. So four of us actually got together in person, and, you know, we were delayed for the meeting because we couldn't get there in time because it was pouring. And then Kim down in Waseca couldn't even join because she was laying in the basement somewhere because there's like a tornado going overhead. We have just had really crazy weather here in Minnesota. It's just been nuts.
Well, we officiated, or the wedding I was officiating on Friday, we had the rehearsal on Thursday night. It's an outdoor wedding.
We were texting back and forth,
Outdoor wedding, and it's torrential downpours. I was screaming at the bride and groom just so they could hear me, like, okay, this is what we're doing next is the exchange of the rings. This is what we're going to do is the vows. Who's doing it? I mean, I was screaming at them because the rain was so loud in the tent, we couldn't hear each other. And so everybody was just kind of laughing because it was ridiculous. Yeah. And we're all huddled together because the rain was coming in the sides of the tent.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was like sideways coming through. I'm like, okay, well, and they said, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I said, no, I put in a request for tomorrow evening. We should be okay. Yeah. And no lie, like an hour and a half before
sun came out. And you know what? I had one of the people I work with came up to me today and told me that they were out. He was out for his wife's birthday, and he had taken the day off on Friday, I think. Or was it yesterday? I'm not sure if it was Friday or yesterday. I'm confused now what day it was. But they were biking, or they had those scooters, you know, that you can rent, you know, in Minneapolis now. You just put your whatever. They're like $1 an hour or something. I don't know. But they were on the Stone Arch Bridge, which is the walking bridge, and we know how there's a lot of activity down there.
Yeah.
And he said they were trying to take a selfie, and he said suddenly this English gentleman that was, you know, just dressed to the nines said, oh, I'll take your picture. This is great. And so he said, oh, okay, great. You know, this guy took like 7 pictures. And he said, he's just a really nice guy. And they turned around just to walk their scooters for like 2 feet. And they turned around because they were going to talk to him again. And he had vanished. Like, and they were like in the middle of the bridge. So there is no way
you could get off
and
that bridge.
And he said, Steffi, what do you think it was a ghost? And I said, well, I don't know. Did the hair stand up on the back of your neck? I think you're a little intuitive. So did you feel anything? And he said, well, no, but I mean, where could he have gone? And I'm like, well, that is true, you know, and the veil is thinning. And he said that the woman that was kind of walking with him had already passed us by, and we turned back to say something, and he was just gone. What do you think? I said, well, I don't know. I wasn't there, but could be. I mean, that's kind of unusual, you know?
Yeah, there's nowhere to go on that bridge.
No. And you know what? It is that time now again. So, I mean, you know, like you said, the spirits were crazy where you were at the Bakken Museum, and I think this fall is going to be very active because it's been an active summer. Yeah. So it only makes sense. So people, when you're out and about, if you see strange things, you know, take a second look because it might be something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not just imagination.
Yep. So that brings us, when we're talking about weird things, to our topic today, which is actually a listener topic. This is from Mike. You shot this to us like 3 seconds before I logged off of the chat room last week, and I saw it was scrolled up a little bit, and I saw the post, and Mike said haunted vehicles, and I just happened to see it before I X'd out of the of the website. And I'm like, oh, that's good.
I know.
That's good.
I know.
So
I know.
That's what we're doing. So thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Shout out to you for your good suggestion. And we've looked up some stories, yeah. of course, stuff up on the internet
and find all sorts of stuff. And we have a couple of personal things too. So if anybody out there has any personal stories, you know, do let us know. Now, Ghost Dance is saying there's a little bit of a echo. Can you still hear it, or has it been taken care of? Can you just kind of put on a text if, you know, we sound okay now, or what the scoop is? But anyway, so let's get going. So this whole haunted vehicles, you want to start, Heidi? I'm not sure. We have so much information here. I'm not sure where to start.
Well, I want to read a couple of these stories that I've seen on the internet, just because I think it's kind of funny. And then, you know, that'll give people some time to type in some of their personal stories yeah. too into the chat room. So definitely share, like Steph said, share your stories with us in the chat room. We'll read them here on the air. But I'll read a couple of the these true facts here that we found on the internet. The first, well, all of you have heard about Christine. This is, I'm on the Destination America website, so this is absolutely true, I'm sure. They talk about number one being the car Christine, which was in the movie, the Stephen King, well, book, excuse me, book first, then movie. And they say that there's a car that exists in reality that could rival this book story. It's called The Golden Eagle, a 1964 Dodge 330. I don't even know what that means. It was originally used as a police vehicle in Old Orchard Beach, and Maine, and then sold after it started, in air quotes here, acting funny. You guys can't see me doing that. Apparently, three different police officers who drove the car ended up dying in brutal ways or murdering their whole families.
Oh, my goodness.
And all in all, the Golden Eagle has been blamed for the deaths of 14 people. And in 2010, a church group concluded that the car was possessed and had it disassembled. And Wendy Allen, an artist and eccentric who owned the car at one point, claims that it never turned on her or her family. And it said that she is now in possession of the remaining pieces of the vehicle. So apparently she was attached to it and nothing bad happened. So that's good. Or maybe nothing bad happened when she got the pieces back because it had been, I don't know, cleared and disassembled or whatever.
Right.
Franz Ferdinand, this is not the band. If you're familiar with the band, this is not the band. This is Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife at the start of World War I. This limo failed to operate one unlucky day, causing them both to be assassinated. The limo changed hands 15 times after this event and is thought to have been associated with 6 accidents, 13 deaths, all under mysterious conditions. I don't know if that means it's haunted or cursed.
Right.
Right? These cars. I mean, I don't know if they're haunted, but they're certainly, they don't have a run of good luck here. The third item on the list here is JFK's 1961 Lincoln 74A convertible, which was given the codename SS-100-X. by Secret Service, and it's the car that JFK and his wife were riding in on November 22nd when he was assassinated by an unseen gunman. The limo was kept in operation for several, this is what I don't understand, several years after this tragic event. Like, they kept using it. Doesn't that just seem weird? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I would say so.
I mean, that's like a moment in history, and then they just keep driving the car around.
Well, a moment in history, and I mean, it was a horrific moment in history. I mean, his head. I mean, Jackie O had his head yeah. in her hand, you know. So, can you imagine what a mess it must have been?
Well, and they just kept. That's what I don't understand. They just kept using it. So, for several years after this event, and then it was donated to the Henry Ford Museum. People report seeing a ghost dressed all in gray clothing standing near the car from time to time, usually near the anniversary of the shooting.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Do they think it's John Kennedy?
I don't know. Maybe it's one of the Secret Servicemen that feel bad for not doing his job.
Yeah, maybe.
Not that they could have. I'm not saying they could have. Don't anybody get all twisted.
We don't have no idea.
Yeah. The fourth car, or vehicle, because some of these aren't cars, classic film star James Dean was a fan of racing in his spare time and was on his way to compete in a race when he lost control of his Porsche, causing it to flip over. The injuries caused by the crash killed him, and following his death, a friend of his disassembled the vehicle and sold the parts to other enthusiasts. Well, probably, okay, anyway, I won't comment.
So I wonder if all their cars are haunted now because they have a part of James D's cars that killed him.
Here they said two men who purchased a few of the car's parts also then died in car crashes.
Oh,
And bulk of the car's frame has long since gone missing and is said to be forever cursed, which, how would you know?
Is it a cursed car then? Sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
We have the Phantom Bus of London. It's one of those double-deckers, it looks like. The death of a London driver in 1934 has been linked to a bus known as the Phantom Bus of London, spotted by countless people between the 30s and 90s. Oh, the bus is said to have appeared at exactly 1:15 a.m., headed straight towards traffic, causing drivers to swerve out of the way and often crash and die. So they think they see a bus, they swerve, they crash,
and
they die.
In reality, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That does sound like a haunted vehicle.
It does, for sure.
We have the haunted ghost plane called Pippo.
Oh.
A phantom plane. It was said to cause havoc during World War II and earned its name by the pip-pip noise its guns would make when it would swoop in, seemingly from out of nowhere, to join in on the battle at hand. So they're saying they don't know where this plane would come from.
Oh.
And it would just swoop in and...
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That is really cool, actually.
That is cool.
I like that one.
And you would think.
And it was helpful. So it was helping them, right? Somehow it helped them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, unless they're shooting at you, then that's not good, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I wonder if it was, did it look, like they said World War II, so did it look like a World War?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they have planes in World War I? I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
So where would it have come from? Like,
well, yeah.
World War II. I guess planes have been around for a
while. Well, and maybe because World War II lasted for many years, right? So maybe it was, you know, a plane that went down right away and then,
true. It could have been from the same war.
Interesting.
I was like, maybe it was a different plane, and you could see that it wasn't from that time, but they weren't around much before that. So anyway, I thought that, that's interesting. And then let's see here. Abraham Lincoln's train. The ghost train is said to make its way through 180 cities every April.
Oh,
recreating the exact voyage that Lincoln's dead body made on his funeral trip back to Springfield, Illinois.
Okay, that's just creepy.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I kind of would like to go to some of these cities during that time and see if you see it.
And then it's said that the clocks and watches stop at the moment the phantom train passes.
Okay, that's crazy.
I would love to be somewhere for that, because I think that would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We should find out about that, Heidi. That would be fun to go to a couple of stops, right? Because I'm assuming you could probably get to a couple in the same amount of time that a train would take to get there or whatever, you know? Mike is saying in World War I, they did have planes. The Red Baron came from World War I. So it could be a plane from World War I that showed up in World War II to help out.
Helpful.
That's interesting. Thank you, Mike. I didn't know.
Cool. Yeah, that's
But that train thing,
I want to get
kind of like an urban legend. That would really be fun to go check out.
It would. In 180 cities, there's got to be something that wouldn't be too far away get to.
I wonder where it went.
On its way to Illinois. I mean, that's not too far away. So
maybe Illinois in the south, right? Because he was kind of south more.
So Springfield's down there.
Oh,
well, that's interesting. Yeah. That might be a good road trip.
Yeah. Or just do it, you know, do it at the same time you're going to go investigate something else down that way and then see, you know. I don't know. That would really be fun, though. I got to say, that would be interesting. That's really an intriguing thing.
Okay. So that's what I had on my list. And now as I look at the chat room, people have, like, dropped in with some cool stories. So, and we have some personal experiences, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should read a couple of these so we don't get too far behind.
Let's do it.
Before a break here. So Mike, who brought the topic to us, again, thank you, says, I had a 71 Chevy pickup that did a lot of strange things. For instance, it would not start when one particular person was in the truck. He would get out and it would start.
So that pickup did not like this guy for some reason.
Apparently not.
Did he check it or what? I mean, you know, what's the scoop on
maybe
that?
You just had, did your friend have bad energy and maybe your car was like, I don't want him in my, I don't want his bad vibes in hanging out. Oh, that's weird.
Oh, yeah, that is weird. That is weird.
More details, please. I'd love to find a little bit more on that. So then we've got, let's see here. There's a link here that Kat sent.
The car murdered at least 14 people. What? What is this all about?
Is that what you just talked about?
I think that might be a classic horror film.
That's the first one that I talked about.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Let's see. Oh, this has some more.
Because that's the original Christine. So Christine came from that, right?
Yeah, that's what they said in the first one that I read. So This has a lot more details, though.
Oh, gosh. In the 1980s and 90s, members of different local churches vandalized the car, and apparently each of the lead vandalizers died in horrific car crashes from 18-wheelers decapitating them. The car's current owner even claims that all 32 people from the two groups died under strange circumstances, four of them being hit by lightning.
Oh, my goodness. This is crazy.
Yeah, look at them.
So what I want to know, let me scroll back to the beginning here. So it was a police vehicle first. How does that, I mean, that's what I wonder, if it's cursed or, you know, did one of the people that was tangled up with the law, you know, maybe they wanted revenge, you know, maybe they died, maybe they were shot or whatever and died and were trying to get back at the officer and they ended up getting attached to the car.
Yeah. That could be for sure. Oh my gosh.
Guessing, but
decapitating and hit by lightning. I mean, those two things are bizarre, right? Yeah. And then it says, of all the strange stories related to this car, the deaths involving children are by far the creepiest. Two children, one in the 60s and one in the 80s, were hit by cars and flung across the street to land either under the bumper or on the hood of the Golden Eagle. Both died before paramedics could reach the scene. And then the last story is the most chilling. In 2008, a kid was dared to merely touch the Golden Eagle, and a couple of weeks later, he murdered his whole family, even the dog, and burned his house to the ground.
Wow.
Today, the car is in pieces after another church group decided a demon was living in the car in 2010. The group stole the car, chopped it up, and distributed it to various junkyards.
Wow.
But Wendy Allen's internet cries for help were heard, and most parts were found and returned. Wow. Oh, my God. The same church group harshly labeled her as the Sea Witch of Old Orchard Beach and claims she uses the car to cast death spells.
What? Where did they get that from?
Oh, my.
That doesn't even make any sense. It just, and they're saying here that she says she's offended by people labeling her in the car as dark and demonic. She said, it's just a car that's been passed down in my family for years, and people are reading too much into the things that have happened to people around the car. Okay, that, you've got to say that there's something with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Okay, so I don't agree necessarily with that, but she said that her and her family are fine.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have anything to do with that stuff, so I wouldn't attach her to the negative parts of the car, but that's still kind of crazy
with
all that.
Bizarre, so, right? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's wild. Well, yeah, thanks, Kat, for sending that expanded view of our first car haunted vehicle. So yeah, that's interesting.
Craziness. Westboro Church Group, perhaps? I don't know. Did it say that? I don't think it said that.
I didn't say who it was. Mike's like, yeah, my truck wasn't so bad. No, it wasn't. It just didn't want one guy to ride there in your car.
Yeah, don't ride in this car, honey. You know, because otherwise, you know. But yeah. Oh, well, that is amazing.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And the whole thing about James Dean's car, too, about how it was, you know, the parts were spread around and different things happened. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting, too.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh? And John F. Kennedy's car being in service for another 8 years? Holy crap. What is going on with that? I mean, that's just...
That just seems morbid.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, they're talking about on another website, they're talking about Dr. Kerbokian's Deathmobile, which is a VW van that he used, I guess, when he would go do his thing and help people die. But of course, you know, good old Zach Bagans bought it.
Yes, he did.
For $30,000, and you can now see it at Zach Bagans' museum. And he says he plans to use the van in a paranormal project.
Oh. But is he going to use it in a project?
So did he actually? So they're saying that this is where he helped over 100 people assist in committing suicide in that van. Oh, that's interesting. I guess I didn't know that.
Oh, in the van.
That's what it says.
And I didn't realize that either.
It would most certainly hold a lot of residual and sad energy, making it one of the most frightening vehicles around.
Well. I can understand. I didn't realize it was in the van.
I didn't either. I mean, I didn't think he did stuff like that. That's,
Hmm.
I don't like that idea.
No, that's kind of weird.
I wouldn't want to die in an old van. Let's put it that way.
No. Yeah. Anyway, I wonder if we should take a break and come back to some of our personal stories and those that are on the chat room. We can continue after our mid-show break here on the Para-X Network. So we'll be back in, what, 2 minutes?
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock, The Dark Sun Rising, on the Para-X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files, only on Para-X.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their old haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and are reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back, everybody, to the gathering here on the Para-X Network. And tonight we are talking haunted vehicles. This is a listener suggestion from Mike AZ in our chat room, who is with us quite frequently. So thanks, Mike, for tuning in and suggesting the haunted vehicle topic.
Oh, yeah. Great show. It's been really fun to read some of these stories that are out there on the internet about these, you know, the seven most notorious, I can't say the word, haunted vehicles. Amazing stories with all of them. So I found this website that this was just published earlier this year, but it talks about ghostly vehicles, haunted cars, ships, planes, and trains. And it talks about how vehicles become haunted and curses and most common ghost vehicles, which I thought was funny because it's like all vehicles, cars, trucks, trains, planes, ships, motorcycles. I mean, what else is there?
Bicycle.
Oh, bicycle. Yeah. Pretty sure that must be on there.
It is. Well, I know it is because I know someone that has some. Well, they have energies attached. I won't say that they're haunted, but...
Yeah, and then they talk about, you know, famous things in TV series or movies and, you know, Eastern Airline Flights 401 and the Silver Lion of the Stockholm Metro, the Manic Burn of Lake Superior, which, okay, so up in Duluth, Minnesota, there's a haunted boat up there called...
It's the William A. Irvin.
Yes, and it's on... It's right in the harbor there in Duluth, and you can
tour
paranormal
it.
Paranormal investigation on there. You've done it, right?
I haven't done an investigation, but I've been on the boat. Yeah,
and many people have, and they say I guess they come up with some pretty good evidence, so that's cool. But so
it's
we were talking
bad activity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so we were talking about everyone knows about the Edmund Fitzgerald that went down in Eastern Lake Superior, just off the Michigan coast, during some crazy storm in November, you know, the gales of November remembered. And we were thinking, wow, wouldn't that be a good place for an investigation right up above where that ship is?
Yeah, get someone to take us out in a boat and then do an investigation on the water.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It'd be interesting to see if anybody's still there, you know, attached, stuck with the boat.
Well, yeah, because they all died. I mean...
Yeah,
I forget how many there were. I'm trying to think of the song, because in the song they say...
Yeah, there's a song for that. I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but everybody died. I mean, you know, 29, I think it was, and then the church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. So 29 men died in that boat, and they're all still encased in the boat down there. It was a big iron ore ship out of Duluth that went out during the stormy weather of November. So, yeah, we were thinking, wow, I bet we're guessing. And I don't think it's too far from the shore, actually. I mean, I think it's, you can't swim out there, for example. No. But it's not, like, in the middle of the lake. I think it's closer to the Michigan shore than you would imagine. So, yeah, I think that would be a really good investigation, actually.
And I've been, we were talking, too, about the Queen Mary out in California.
Yeah.
And have you been on it?
No.
Okay. I went on it, and there's from what I recall, they always mentioned hearing a piano, someone playing a piano from the old, you know, days when they had pianos on board. And I mean, they probably still have pianos on cruise ships, but I just took a tour, and there was like, it was kind of self-guided. You can just walk around and grab something to eat and sat on the deck and then walked around a little bit more. And it was really, it had some energy there.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
And I know that there's been paranormal investigators out there. Yeah. So who knows if they're, you know, calling in some energies or whatever. But anyway, it's definitely got some energy. I think it'd be neat to do an investigation on that ship.
It would be fun. And, you know, there's lots of other ships, you know, like you've seen on TV, like the Ghost Hunters have been to. I think there's a couple out east or something. military ships, you know, like.
There's some down in San Diego that you can tour.
Yeah.
That I've been on.
Yes, there's another one down there, like a big time haunted one that they talk about a lot.
Yep.
So there's lots of ships are, well, and it only makes sense, right? There's a lot of bad things that happen to ships on the ocean. So every form of vehicle, I'm sure, has been haunted at some point. Yep. My dog keeps looking down the cat door going downstairs. I'm not sure what she's looking at.
But I probably don't want to know.
No. But anyway, so one of my personal experiences, and a few years ago, we were down in Nebraska, the Sim crew, for a few investigations, and we were on the Indian reservation there. And one of the things that they wanted us to check out was a junkyard, which had many, many vehicles that tribal members had died in. You know, they were in accidents. Died, and they said there were a lot of people of the tribe and of the area that wouldn't even go near that junkyard because it was just creepy, scary, haunted.
Yep.
So we went in there, and we did find, you know, there was activity. We could tell, and, you know, our K2 meters were going off, and I'm not sure that we ever got any EVPs. This was a few years ago, but, I mean, there was definitely some strange energy there, and there was something that followed us back because it wasn't in our car, but the tribal member that was with us said, he got in the car and said, oh my gosh, there's someone with us. They've attached themselves to me and now they're with us. And crazy things happened within our team. So that same day, within hours, we were fighting between us. And we never do that. I mean, it was to the point where there was yelling and almost fist fights.
Right. I remember you telling me about that and saying, you know, people were going to leave and drive this huge long drive back home after you guys just got there because you were so mad at each other.
Yes.
You were just going to split up and leave.
Yes. It was the craziest feeling ever. And this feeling came over us and we all just were like, oh my God, I just want to deck you and I want to punch you. And what is going on? It was just horrific. And we ended up having to, you know, we had to do a smudging and a clearing outside the hotel that night. And then everything was fine. And then we went, you know, we went and had dinner together and spent the night together and everything was hunky dory. But interesting though, huh? Because I know when this guy said this, he said, oh, I want you to do this junkyard because it's very scary. Several members of the tribe have died in vehicles that have been brought there. And then this happens. But personally, I was like, really? You brought us all the way down here to investigate a junkyard? Come on now. And when we investigated, it was like in the middle of the day and it was hot. It was in May, but it was like, I don't know, 90 degrees or something. And it was just so uncomfortable and hot. And then he wanted us to stop. That's the reason we didn't stay there longer or get more evidence, because all of a sudden he was like, I don't know if he was overwhelmed by what he was feeling and these spirits or whatever, but he said, I don't want you to do this anymore. We got to leave right now, blah, blah, blah. And then all this ensued afterwards. So kind of crazy.
That is.
Very really interesting. Crazy. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe those cars had lots of spirits that, you know, died in them were still there.
Yeah. I mean, if someone actually attached to him, then I would assume that there was some kind of spirit activity
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just even the energy of the trauma alone
yes.
attached to all those vehicles
yes.
could create something,
yes.
I would imagine.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. So that was crazy. But no, I've never been in a car that's been haunted. But maybe he was a ghost. Maybe. I don't think so. But, you know, he did say he was, you know, like I said, all of a sudden, because we were like right in the middle of our investigation. And all of a sudden he was like, we're done. We got to get out of here. I put everything away. I don't want any more voice recorders. I don't want anything out. Let's go.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden a big turnaround. You know,
you gotta
left.
Go.
We had to, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I that was just bizarre.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so.
Well, I've had... I guess I've had a ton of experiences, but sometimes, and I think people have probably had this happen that are listening too, maybe you have too, Steph, where you're driving and someone's in the car with you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like I've driven, I don't even know how many times, and someone was sitting in the passenger seat. I couldn't see who it was. I just knew someone was sitting there, and when I turned to look, I couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of times I had someone in the back seat that mm-hmm. I could see in the rearview mirror,
mm-hmm.
which is really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was not human. I don't mm-hmm. know what it was. You know what it looked like? It looked like a black cousin It
oh.
with red eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Oh.
That
yeah, that's sad.
Because I'm like driving down the highway 55 miles an hour, and here's a very evil, angry-looking cousin It sitting behind me in the rearview mirror. I'm like, okay, now what do I do? And I turned around again, and it was gone. So, thankfully. But I remember I was taking my dogs for a walk. This was a few years ago. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was more than a few years ago then. So 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm coming around the corner of this block, and there's cars that are parked on the street. You know, mm-hmm. I lived in the city, and cars all over on the street. And I came up. I could see this car was kind of glowing blue from inside, and I thought, well, maybe it's one of those security lights. You know how some of those mm-hmm. cars on the inside have a little security mm-hmm. blue light and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, that's a really bright security light, I guess. You know, it keeps
mm-hmm.
people from breaking in or something. And as I get closer, I see that there's a spirit slumped in the front seat
oh.
of the car.
Oh.
Glowing this like gray blue. It wasn't a beautiful blue. Let me
right.
just clarify. It was this gray, like muddy
yeah.
blue.
Yeah.
And it was glowing enough that it was creating its own light, but it wasn't this beautiful, like angelic light.
Yeah, right.
And it was this woman slumped in the front seat, and she had this glazed over look on her eyes. She had dark circles around her eyes, and she looked really, obviously she looked really unhealthy and skinny. And she looked like she had, I don't know if she had a drug overdose
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
she was just strung out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
right.
So I don't know if she died.
Right.
I don't know, but her energy was definitely still with that
yeah.
car. Can you imagine buying a car?
Oh, no.
And having, I mean, how many of us do that? We don't even know.
Right.
You know, you buy a car and there's this energy, and maybe you do know and you don't know why you don't
yeah.
like that car.
Right. Right. Same thing with the house,
you,
right? Oh,
yeah. You drive this car and you're
yeah.
like, I don't know about this. Something's not right with it.
Yeah.
And you can't even put your finger on it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. But anyway,
yeah.
so I'm like, gosh, I hope this person is okay. You know, that has now the car, and you know, the person that I saw in there,
mm-hmm.
I hope that she was okay. You know, and I asked if I could help her, but she disappeared
mm-hmm.
Out of the car. So I didn't get a chance to do anything for her. But that, yeah, I thought, oh, that's interesting, because how many of us probably maybe test drive one. We don't know why we don't like it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel
exactly.
good. Maybe
yeah.
that's why.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, my other thought is this, what about cars that hit people and kill them? You know, like for example, in our old neighborhood, Every fall, and it only happened in the fall, and I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air before, but I called him the ghost of Polk Street, and there was this jogger that would appear in the fall, and I used to walk my dogs super early, like 5 a.m. in the morning. Here we go again, early morning. And every fall time, he would appear, and I would see him once or twice every fall, and finally I got so scared, and I didn't want to see him anymore. I totally avoided that part of the neighborhood because I didn't want to see him anymore. But he would come on Polk Street, and it was a jogger, right? And the first time I saw him, I was a little bit alarmed because it's like, if you consistently walk every day at 5 o'clock, you know who's up and who's around and whatever. Yep. I'd never seen this person before. And then the dogs were kind of, you know, they had their ears perked up and I'm like, you know, I don't hear any footsteps. I don't hear any footfalls, you know, because mm-hmm. then they went past me and then I looked and of course it was completely gone. And then it kept happening, you know, and then I did a little research and found out that yes, there was a jogger who was killed right on that corner in the morning, hit by a car. So what about that car that hit him? I wonder if, you know, cars that hit people and they die, are they haunted too? I mean, do you think the spirits haunt them?
Maybe.
I mean, obviously this guy is haunting the area still, but, you know, and Casey actually, what's interesting in that story, because it's a good Halloween story, but it's true. One time she was going to work and it was early morning and she was super early. So she went and parked there because she wanted to see it because she had never seen this ghost. And she said she looked up just for a minute because she was looking at her phone or whatever. And here it came right by the car. And she said, oh, my God, Mom, I almost peed myself. I was so scared. It was there. And then, like you said, it was just shoop, gone, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So
I wonder if you go back at, you know, if you ever decide to go back there and bring a video camera.
Yeah.
If you could record it.
I know, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Casey and I have gone back there a couple of times over the years and been there at like 5 a.m. You know, we've always brought dogs with us because I think, well, I had dogs with me and haven't seen anything, but not consistently. And it's a mile or two away from here. It's not far. You know, I think, you know, it would be a fun experiment, you know, because it was always in October, you know, and the veil was thin. And I didn't even know about any of this stuff back in the day, you know.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. And you definitely. You know, Jerry had said he had seen it float past the house one day, but that was a whole block away from 40th. So I don't know if that was the same one or if that was a different one or, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, interesting. Yeah, it would be fun to see, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in the fall, too, that she saw it. You know, just sit in the car like she did because she saw it and just maybe put the camera, like, right outside there. The window.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Maybe I have to do it.
Yeah. Well, if it's not far.
Yeah, I think so.
So I have another story from a home clearing that I did, and this was up by Duluth, Minnesota, and the gal, she was having all sorts of activity happening in her home, and, you know, things would get moved, items would disappear, she would see figures walking around, she would see and hear things, things outside. It was just circus mm-hmm. at this house. And she got a hold of me. I said, yeah, we'll come up. And so we went up there and it was just wild up there. And she's sensitive too, mm-hmm. which just adds fuel to the fire, right? And I didn't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. Is it because she's sensitive or is it the you know, place haunted? And then she's sensitive. Like, I don't know. So in talking to her, I think, you know, she has been sensitive her whole life, but really didn't do anything with it. And now, you know, she was in her 60s and everybody's kind of, you know, out of the house. Everybody's kind of doing their thing. I think she got divorced. I don't remember. Anyway, and it was just her and maybe a grandson, I think, came back to live with her. And so she just had a lot of time. She's like, I'm going to kind of explore the sensitivity now. So she had started to open things up. And,
oh, geez.
And you know, I think that was causing some of the chaos.
Yeah.
And then she was going to AA, I think it was, that she said, you know, and she'd go to this place that was somewhere not, it was close enough that she thought had activity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and here she's sensitive. And then all these people that go there for this meeting who, you know, because some of these people have been involved in, you know, some tragic accidents and mm-hmm. things like that. And so she was seeing spirits there that were then attached to these people, which I've seen that too,
yes.
you know, that you killed someone in a car accident or whatever. And sometimes they attach to the person that killed them. I don't think they do it because they want to, or maybe some do. But anyway, so she'd go there and she said that they would come to her and ask for help. And so she would be helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, but you can't, you know, as a sensitive, you have to be careful because you're not going to save them all.
Yes.
You can't.
Yes. No.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're here to live our lives, not, you know, rescue every spirit on the planet because it would be absolutely impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great if she wants to help some of them. But as soon as you open the door and say, I'll help you, you've got to start setting personal boundaries or they just won't stop coming.
Yeah.
They'll be endless. So she didn't understand that, and I think that's continued to add to her problem. And then it was interesting because while we were doing the clearing, and so I'm talking to her about how to stay safe, how to set her boundaries, doing all the stuff that I do with people, you know, learn the rules first before you just fling the door open.
Yeah.
But people don't know until they fling the door open. They go, oh, crap, now what?
And then they need help. Yep.
That's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're just about done. We had cleared everything outside in the garage and everything. And I said, you know, is there anything that you want us – anything else you want us to look at, anything? And she goes, well, can you look at my car? And we're like, yeah, okay. And so we went out there, and the car was just buzzing.
Oh.
And, you know, it was on the other side of the garage because we had gone into the garage, and there was two cars in there. One was her grandson's and one was hers. And hers was on the farther side, which I don't understand why the grandson made her walk further away. I don't know. Anyway, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. So we go over to her car, and it's just buzzing with electricity. And we're like, what is going on with your car? And so we went over there, and I just stood by it, and I could see it was a revolving door, spirit. And I'm like, what are you doing with your car? I go, what are you doing? Because I could tell she was doing something.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, what's happening with your car? I said, this is you doing something. And she's like, well, I don't know. I think spirits follow me from those meetings. Is they see that I can see them, and they know I can see them, so they follow me, and they come in my car. And so if I see them in my car or feel them in my car, I'll stop my car, and I'll get my pendulum out, and I'll start communicating and asking if I can help them. And, you know, sometimes I'll stop if I feel someone, and I'll just bring out my pendulum. So she was basically doing divination work in her car, busting out the pendulum to do divination work. And I said, okay, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's dangerous. First of all, it's driving. I mean, she would stop the vehicle for that, but encouraging these spirits to keep coming in her car. I mean, at some point it might get distracting and, you know,
not a good thing.
Right. To have these spirits, you know, floating all over your car. And what if you get distracted and you drive off the road or back or, you know, hit someone, whatever. So I was like, you know, you need to tell them to stay there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you choose to help them while you're there, that's up to you, mm-hmm. you know, but just understand they're going to keep coming.
Yeah.
The line will never go away.
No.
It's impossible for that line to go away. If you set up shop there, they will keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide how much of that you want to do. But when you leave, you tell them, you cannot come with me.
Yes.
You have to stay here, or light or whatever you got to do, but you can't come with me because it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so she said she would do that. I don't know if she did it.
Right.
I followed up with her a few times, and she said things were better, and she was being careful, and, you know, she said she was doing what I said, so I don't know. That's
hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so, because I know when I've seen spirits in my car, it's very distracting.
Oh, well, yeah.
And you can get hurt.
Yeah.
Because if you're startled and you jerk the wheel or, you know, if you slam on the brake because you're not thinking straight, you know, you just freak out.
I can't even imagine.
Now someone rear ends you. I don't know. I think it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I just said, don't. Anyway. And then one last thing I'll share. This was at a clearing that we just did a few, like a month ago, and this was the one down in Belle Plaine. And I know I had talked about this on the show. One of the things that the homeowner told us is she thought this, whatever the spirit was that was at her house, followed her in her vehicle to her store or the store. She went to Target or something. I don't know. And she went to the store and she came out and the visor was down, the sun visor of her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it was a cloudy day. Mm-hmm. She didn't. And so she's like, well, that's weird. I wouldn't have had it down.
Yeah.
That's weird. And so she mentioned it to me, and it was a day that all this weird stuff had been happening. And she goes, could it get in my car? And I said, well, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it can mm-hmm. hook onto you and follow you and do whatever. And so we did the clearing, and I went out when we got done. Tim and I had carpooled together to this clearing, and we went out, and I opened my car door, and my visor was down. And I went, Tim, look at my visor, because I had a relatively new to me car.
Yes.
New car to me.
It's pretty new.
And I don't use the visor because I can't, you know, I don't like having that in the way. I'd rather just wear sunglasses and
mm-hmm.
it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Tim, my visor's down. And he said, oh my gosh, that story that she told. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, right. So I quick grabbed everybody because we did a clearing and protection when we were done.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do the vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, great. I don't need anybody hitching a ride.
We kicked
them out of the house.
Right.
And they hop in one of our vehicles. So I grabbed everybody before they drove away. And I said, wait a minute, we've got to clear all the cars just in case. Mm-hmm. I said, because I think whoever we shoot out of the house at least went through my car.
Yeah.
So let's just be safe because we don't need anybody getting hitchhikers.
No.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That is very interesting.
Because I had never put my visor down in the time that I had it, which was only a few weeks or so when I did that investigation. Mm-hmm. So I knew I hadn't used my visor yet.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I didn't know if it was their way of just kind of saying, I'm out and screw you or whatever.
Yeah.
And they, as they left, you know, kind of flipped down my visor, kind of like flipping the bird or something. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, that's kind of how I took it. Like, I'm out and here's this. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
so,
it is crazy. I mean, that is cool, you know?
Yeah.
And then you didn't, so you cleared all the cars so nobody had any issues.
Yeah. Yep. And as far as I know, nobody did. Nobody said anything after the fact. And that was the one that everything was really great in the house the next day. So so everything seemed like it went well and good.
Timepieces. I'm going to check my visor now. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. And she's also saying, you know, sometimes when you think on it hard enough, it's like an invitation. Well, yeah, it is. Absolutely. You know, it's like, oh, well, come on in. Come on in and talk to me.
So, yeah, it's you check your visor. Well, yeah, if you're in that kind of situation, I guess I would. You know, and that's something that when I was first getting into paranormal investigating, there were a couple of people that would always, when they went on investigations, would always end up with hitchhikers, would follow them home in their cars. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, how in the world are you letting that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, and I get that I am someone that I won't, I don't tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
So I cut it off at the end there. I'm like, you're not coming with me.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's
there's
right.
no question about this. You're not coming.
That's,
and some people are just like, they just roll over and let things happen. And that's fine. I'm not like that.
No.
I can't, especially with this kind of stuff, I won't do it.
No.
So the next time you see them, oh, the spirit came home with me and they wouldn't leave my place for like, they were there for weeks. And I'm like, how in the world are you like, okay, well, they finally left. I'm like, what did you, okay, maybe you just are lonely or you don't, you want something to talk about or you don't know how to, but I said, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. She I don't know. Yeah. I people just aren't firm. I know I say the same thing. Don't you come home with me. You stay here. You are not welcome.
Because it's, not cool. But.
Well, Cater is asking, Heidi, so does the clearing process always work? And are there times when it doesn't?
Oh, sure. It doesn't always work. Yeah. And it's not that it doesn't work because it's, I mean, for me, and I can't speak for other people who do clearings, when it doesn't work, there are some, certain reasons why. So there are times when it hasn't worked, and we'll quick do this because we're getting at the end, where it doesn't work because there are multiple layers that have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only do so many layers at once. So you have to go back, and you have to go back, and you have to go back. Sometimes it's the people, not the place. So the people need to do some massive overhauling on their lifestyle, their choices, their, you know, whatever it is that's happening. World, because they could be inviting in or creating the activity themselves, and if they don't change, the activity is not going to change. So there's like that's the nutshell version because we have to wrap up, but maybe that's a topic for a different show. So and leave with the peace sign, peace out, right? That's how we do it. No, we don't do that. But anyway, so that's the quick in a nutshell version, and we're at the end of our show. Almost. We're almost there. A couple minutes.
Yeah. It's gone by so fast.
But thanks for the topic, Mike AZ, Mike in Arizona, because that was cool. That was a good topic.
Oh, it was. It's been very fun to talk about this because, we had a lot of, we found a lot of stuff. You guys talked about a lot of stuff. And
that's in the stories. So, it was cool. And anyone that's in the chat room, give us a topic if you have it. We'll put it on our upcoming shows. And next week we're at Superfan Anita's.
Yes, we are. And guests to be determined, but we're hoping to have a good guest on next week. So
we'll see. Otherwise, it's a topic, listener topic. If you have one, let us know.
So you're welcome, Mike. He said, thanks for picking my topic. You're welcome.
Yeah, fine. Thanks. If you guys have any other cool ideas, you know, do let us know for sure.
Yeah. And thanks to ParaX Network for hosting us and Sarge for producing us and all of you for listening to us and joining us tonight. It was great.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Good night, everybody.